Water Baptism Day. What an incredible time we had in the first service. And this has just been a powerful, incredible service already. So before we get into our water baptisms this morning, like I said, we have five people being baptized. I wanted to explain a little bit about what water baptism is all about. I don't want to assume that everyone in this room knows what does this mean and what is this all about, right? So I'm just going to take 10 minutes or 15 minutes or so and just explain this, and then we're going to get into the water baptism. First of all, the question, why? Why do we baptize in water? Simply because water baptism is biblical. Everybody say biblical. Water baptism is biblical. We are a Bible-believing church. And when you read the Bible, you will see that in the Bible are the sayings of Jesus and all of the commands of Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us that anyone who follows him must be baptized in water as an outward sign of their faith, right? So let me give you a couple scriptures. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Then again, in Mark chapter 16, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So in the Bible, we see that everyone who followed Jesus was baptized in water. And also, in every local church in the Bible, in the New Testament, we see that they preached and taught the people and baptized the people who became followers of Christ. In fact, the very first episode of that in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached this incredible word in Jerusalem, and the people, the Bible says, were cut to the heart when they heard the gospel. What's the word gospel mean, church? It means good news. And when they heard the good news, the Bible says they were cut to the heart. And they said, "What should we do?" And Peter said, he said, well, two things. Number one, repent. Everybody say repent. He said, repent. And then he said, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Right? And when he said that, 3,000 people repented and came to Christ. Can you imagine baptizing Pastor Ralph, can you imagine baptizing 3,000 people? Right? He'd figure it out. 3,000 people, right? And it didn't stop there. We see all throughout the New Testament, all the local churches in Samaria, Caesarea, Philippi, Corinth, Ephesus, Galatia, Rome, okay? So in the New Testament, there's no such thing as an unbaptized Christian. No such thing. Everyone who is a Christian who followed Christ became baptized, right? Amen. Now, you might say, well, what exactly is water baptism? What does it mean, right? Well, first of all, we need to understand that baptism is total immersion in water. Total, to be totally submerged and dunked or buried in water, okay? Now, we understand this to be true because of the use of the word baptism. Now, the New Testament was actually written in Greek, in ancient Greek. And the word that was used in Greek for the English word baptism is baptizo. And baptizo literally means to immerse, literally to submerge, even to bury. And so when Jesus said, "Go into the world and baptize," he wasn't talking about sprinkling, okay? He wasn't talking about dripping water on people. When he said baptize, he said, "I want you to take people and I want you to immerse them, to fully submerge them in water." So baptism, by use of that word, by its very definition, means to be submerged or to be buried in water. And this is really important to understand, okay? Because of the symbolism that takes place in water baptism, okay? Water baptism portrays symbolizes two very important things, okay, that are demonstrated through this burial. Everybody say burial. Demonstrated by this burial in water. Two things, okay? First, baptism symbolizes the death and burial of the old life, of the old man. Everybody say old man. The death and burial of the old man and being raised up to new life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So these are the two things that are very important. We need to understand that this is what water baptism is all about, okay? The person who's being baptized is basically saying that the old man, that old person, the way that I used to be, okay, has died in Christ and has been buried. Okay, so let's take that one first, okay? Water baptism symbolizes the death and burial of the old man. Now, you remember when we took the offering this morning, I read you a scripture from Titus. Let me just go back to that scripture. It tells us this: for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts. That means that as soon as a desire, a craving, rose up in our hearts, we followed it. We couldn't resist it, whatever the craving was. Okay, whether it was the lust of the eyes or the lust of the flesh, whatever it was that our flesh was demanding, another drink, another smoke, more drugs, anger, pride, okay? We couldn't deny it. We were serving the various lusts and pleasures of our old man, having malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, okay? Now, this all describes who we were before Christ came into our lives. Now, I'm not saying that once Christ came into our lives, we're perfect, because many of us, we still struggle with some of these things. Amen? Myself included, because we're all sinners. We're all sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. Even if you're a follower of Jesus, you're still a sinner. Come on, everybody say, still a sinner. Okay? Everyone in this room, we are all sinners. Look at the person next to you. Come on, look at that person. That person is a sinner. I want you to know right now. They may dress themselves up nice. They might have cleaned themselves up nice. They might smell fine right now. But that person is a sinner. They're a sinner. We're all sinners, okay? Well, what is sin? Sin basically is breaking any commandment of God. Any commandment of God. You might say, well, I've never broken any commandments of God. Have you ever heard of this thing called the Ten Commandments? Anybody ever heard of that? They're not the Ten Suggestions. They're not the 10 recommendations. They're the 10 commandments, right? And a couple of them, just to help clarify some things here, okay? One of them says, thou shalt not lie, okay? Have you ever told a lie? Okay, well, if you have, you've broken the commandment right there, right? One of them says, you shall not steal. Have you ever stolen anything? So you've been totally honest on all of your tax returns. Completely forthright, okay? Ooh, yeah, right? How about this one? You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, right? Jesus said that if a man lusts after a woman in his heart, he's already committed adultery. Another commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery. So the Bible says that even in our hearts, that if we lust after someone, it's like committing adultery, right? So let's review now. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? So many of us in this room, you've already acknowledged that you're a lying, stealing, lusting adulterer. I say that in all love, actually. Now, the reality is that we all fall short of God's standard of holiness. We all fall short. We were created to fellowship with God. We were created to worship God. But God gave us all free will. Everybody say free will. That means the right to choose. You see, when God created us, he didn't want to create a bunch of robots that had no choice. He wanted to give us the ability to choose whether or not we would love him, because then our love for him would be genuine and authentic. Amen? Right? So he gave us that choice to love him. But with that choice to love him also came the choice to disobey him. And the Bible says that mankind chose to disobey him. And when mankind disobeyed him, sin was born into mankind. And every one of us is born as a sinner. We're all born in sin. Every one of us is born in sin, even the cute little babies. those cute little, oh, you're so cute, those cute little babies over there in the nursery, all of them, they're all sinners, every one of them. You don't believe me? Just spend a day in the nursery and you'll know what I'm talking about. Go volunteer in the children's church, okay? You don't have to teach a child how to say no. You don't have to teach two children how to fight over a toy. You don't have to teach a little toddler to rip his hand out of your hand and say, I can walk by my... It's just natural. Everybody say it's natural. We're all sinners, all of us. And that means that because we're sinners, there's a problem between us and God. Because the Bible says that God is holy. And because God is holy, he cannot fellowship with sin. He cannot. He cannot accept sin into his presence. He cannot accept sin into heaven. In fact, the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Which means that every one of us will one day die and we will stand before God to give an account of our lives and the sins that we've committed. And those of us who are sinners will not be allowed into the presence of God. We will not be allowed into his heaven. And the alternative there is that we are sent into everlasting punishment. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus taught, right? But here's the good news. Everybody say good news. Remember I said the word gospel means what? Gospel means good news. The good news is that God, yes, he's just, yes, he's holy, but he's also love. God is love. Now, most of the time you only hear that God is love. People don't want to tell you about the justice and the holy part, okay? But in the Mission Church, we believe in telling the truth. We believe in telling the truth and letting people know the real truth in the Word of God, okay? He's just, he's holy, yes, but he's also loving. And because God is loving, he does not want to send anyone to hell. And this is where Jesus Christ comes into the picture. Jesus Christ, God the Son, went to the cross. And the Bible says that on the cross, all of our sins were put on him. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord, God the Father, laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. When Jesus was on that cross, he was being punished, but not for his sin because he was perfect. He was the Son of God. Jesus was being punished for your sin and for mine. Every impure thought, every unkind word, every bad deed, everything that we've done that was evil and ungodly, it was put on Jesus on the cross. Our sin was laid on Jesus on the cross. The Bible says he who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us. He became our sin, became our sin. And the Bible says that he died, which means that he took the punishment that we should have had, and he paid the price that we should have paid, and he died the death that we should have died. He died in our place. But the Bible says that on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, Jesus rose from the dead. You see, this is significant. You see, a holy God cannot just excuse our sin away. He can't just pretend it and win and say, oh, well, I love you so much, I'm not going to punish. He can't do that, okay? That would be like if you committed a crime and stood before a judge, and the judge turned out to be your father, and the father looked down at you from the bench and he said, oh, you're my son, you're my daughter, I can't judge you, I'm gonna excuse you. That would be unjust. Because what about the person that you committed the crime against? What about society? What about all the laws that were broken? No, a just judge has to punish, has to mete sentence out for a crime, even if he loves the one that's there. So God could not just pretend our sins away. He couldn't just excuse us. There had to be punishment. And when Jesus was on that cross, he paid our price. He took our punishment, right? And when he rose from the dead, that demonstrated that the price that Jesus offered for our sin was accepted by the Father. Hallelujah. And because it was accepted by the Father, the curse of sin from us that he took was broken. It was broken. And Jesus was released from hell. He was released from eternity. He was released from the penalty of sin. He rose from the dead. That's good news for you and me. And now the Bible says that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now he offers to each one of us the forgiveness of sins through what he did on the cross. and the hope, the assurance of everlasting life. Now, you're here today and you're saying, you know, I've gone to church all my life, but I've never really heard it put like that. Well, that's the way the Bible puts it. I don't know where you've been going to church, but it's clear in the Bible. That's what we teach and preach here in the Mission Church, that we're all sinners and God is holy. And because God is holy, he cannot accept sin. But God is also love, and that's why he sent Jesus. But each one of us must accept the offer that Jesus offers. We must accept it, right? The gift of God, the Bible says, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The thing about a gift is that it does us no good unless we accept the gift when it's offered to us. Amen? Come on, we're coming to Christmas. How many are hoping to get some gifts? Right? Right? But that gift isn't going to do you any good. Someone can offer it to you and hand it to you, but you have to reach out by faith and you have to say, yes, I want that gift. You got to take it, unwrap it, take the thing out of there, put it on and say, this is mine. I own it now. Right? It has to be received. It has to be accepted. And you're here today and you're thinking, you know what? I know I'm a sinner. I know I've lied. I've lusted, I've cheated, I've been foolish, I've done things that I regret. You might be sitting here today feeling guilty about some things that you've said or done even today or this week, and you realize you're a sinner. I want you to know that the love of God is extended to you right now. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whosoever. You're whosoever, everyone in this room. For God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish in an eternal hell separated from God, but have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Come on, give the Lord a praise. So if you're here today, and you have never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you need to do that. You need to do that. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called sons and daughters of God. You've got to say, Lord, I believe that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. My sins went on Jesus on the cross. And I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I believe that Jesus offers me eternal life, and I accept that offer right now. Come on, bow your heads with me. Everybody, bow your heads with me right now. You're here right now. You realize that you need Jesus. You realize that you need Jesus. You came to watch somebody get baptized, and you ended up realizing that you're the one who needs Jesus, just like they're telling you they need Jesus. You need him too. Holy Spirit, move up and down these aisles and throughout these rows of chairs. Holy Spirit, come speak to hearts right now. Lord, help people realize that they need a Savior. Everybody, your head's bowed, your eyes are closed right now. The Holy Spirit is just speaking to hearts. Listen, you've been trying to live life on your own. You've been making your own choices, your own decisions. And right now, as you look at your life, it's a mess. I mean, it's just a mess. You've been doing it on your own. And the Lord stands before you and he says, you know, I love you. I want to step into your life, but you've got to invite me in. You've got to invite me in. You've got to let me come in. And when you do that, he'll come in. Hallelujah. So let me just ask, anybody here, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, anybody here who would like to acknowledge, you'd like to acknowledge, yes, I need Jesus in my life. Anybody, just while you're sitting there, just slip your hand up and say, yes, I need Jesus. So hand in the back, another hand there, two hands over there, a hand over there, in the back there. There's two hands over there. Yes, I need Jesus. Lord, you've seen these hands that have been raised. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, God, that you'll reveal your love to each one of these people. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Come on, let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your Spirit will make this so real to each person who just raised their hand. Make it so real to each one, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now listen, if you raised your hand, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. In fact, I want everyone to repeat this prayer. Now understand, it's not just this prayer that makes us right with God. It's what happens after we pray. It's making Jesus Lord of our lives, right? And saying, you know what, that old man, that old life of sin, I'm stepping out of that, and I'm going to be a new creation in Christ, right? It's what we do after we pray the prayer that matters. So let's pray this prayer together, okay? Everybody say amen. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I admit that I'm a sinner. Come on, if you raise your hand, you should be praying this prayer. I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus Christ, God the Son, died on the cross for me. And I believe that on the third day, he rose from the dead. And I believe that he offers me eternal life. Jesus, come into my life. I accept the gift of forgiveness of sins. I accept your lordship over my life. Be Lord and be Savior. In Jesus' name, thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm going to ask you on your way out of the church today to stop over at the Welcome Center. As you go out the doors there, over to the right, okay, you'll see it says Welcome Center. Just go over there. There will be some wonderful people there, all right? And just tell those people, yeah, I was one of the people that raised my hand. You just go over, and we have some information we want to give you, some things we want to give you that will help you understand exactly what this means, okay? Because I'm sure you have questions. What is this really all about, right? What are the next steps? So just stop there. Let them know I was one of the people that raised my hands, and they'll be so happy to meet you, and they'll be so happy to give you some information. Amen? Amen. There are a bunch of people that raised their hands. About a dozen people. I don't even know. But we give God praise. Amen. All right. You can be seated because we got some people to baptize today. Now, I totally went off script today. I didn't even finish what I was going to say. But basically, it comes down to this. Everyone who's getting baptized today at some point raised their hand and said, I want to come out of that old life and I want to come alive in Christ and I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want Jesus to be my Savior. So when they go down into the water, what they're demonstrating is that old life, that old man is dead and buried. Dead and buried, just buried under, right? That's what going under the water means. It's like a funeral. The old man has been put to death and he's buried. And then when they come up out of the water, it's symbolic of new life in Christ. That now they're rising up to become a new person who's following Jesus, right? In other words, that old man, that old woman is dead. Now I'm a new person in Christ. I may not be perfect. I may still have some issues. I may have some problems. I'm working through them, okay? I'm a work in progress. Come on, tell somebody, I'm a work in progress. I'm a work in progress, all right? But the difference is this. I know that my sins are forgiven. Jesus is my Savior, and I'm on my way to heaven. Come on, give the Lord a praise. That's the difference. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in Christ. Amen. Amen. All right? Okay. All right. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord a couple of minutes. We're going to get ready up here, and then we're going to start to baptize. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.